I started that stuff around the time I was your age. A knot formed in my throat. What did that mean? Stuff. I mean, I knew the logistics of it. At least I thought I did. I tried not to think about it, though. Sex. Girls like me worried about different things. Manning just looks like he knows what he's doing, she added wistfully. That made me think of his hands, how they'd enveloped my waist and my forearm earlier. Of his fingers, the way they'd set my skin prickling. I didn't want him to touch Tiffany the way he had me. I bent my leg under me, picking at my sock. So he said he'd come to the fair?
Yep.
What about Dad? I asked. I doubt he'd want you going out with one of the workers. Imagine how he'd react if I brought home someone who's older and a construction worker, she said. I didn't understand her sudden, strange smile. So then maybe you should think about, not going out with him.
Why?
If it'll make Dad mad. Tiffany pulled me down onto the bed, hugging me as she laughed.
You have so much to learn about life. Don't you realize part of Manning's appeal is that he'd piss Dad off? A blind person could see that lake.
It was a lot to wrap my head around. In one afternoon, everything about my small, easy world had changed. Tiffany was talking to me about sex. I'd met Manning, who fascinated me beyond my understanding, and the three of us were going to the fair. But I couldn't shake the feeling that even though I'd met Manning first, for some reason, Tiffany thought he belonged to her.
Chapter 4 Lake
Tiffany thought she had the better room between us, and didn't often let me forget it. That's because she didn't know what she was missing. My window opened to a flat part of the first floor's roof. Saturday night, I crawled through, sat, and pulled my knees up to my chest to wait. Already, Tiffany was breaking the rules. She'd told Dad we were getting a ride with her friend Sarah instead of Manning, who was on his way to pick us up. I didn't like lying to my dad, but to spend time with Manning, I was willing to do it. I set my chin on my knee. I'd been ready for hours. Not that getting ready meant the same to me as it did to Tiffany. I'd put on shorts and Converse before running a brush through my hair. My fitted pink and purple paisley tee came from Wet Seal. I never shopped there, but it was a hand-me-down from Tiffany. She'd been in our bathroom for an hour, doing her hair and makeup, but that wasn't unusual. I'd been to Balboa Park lots growing up. It was a small amusement park on the water. It had never sounded romantic until now. It was known for its Ferris wheel, games, and chocolate-covered ice cream bars with sprinkles. There were always young couples holding hands and making out. I'd always thought that was gross, two people French kissing against a wall where others could see. I wouldn't have minded holding Manning's hand, though. Headlights appeared at the corner as a white truck pulled up outside. I got off the roof to knock on the bathroom separating Tiffany's room from mine.
What? She asked.
I opened my door and leaned in. I think he's here. Her hair was coiled around a curling iron. The drawer between our sinks had been pulled all the way open, sagging as if it were about to fall out. It held countless lipsticks, all kinds of eye makeup, bobby pins, compacts, and more. Up until recently, the only interest I'd had in that drawer was the urge to organize it. I'd never wanted to play with makeup like Mom and Tiffany. They knew just how to apply lipstick, dab perfume, shop designer, balance in high heels. All that made their beauty rituals more intimidating than exciting. Tiff looked at me in the reflection of the mirror.
Go tell him I'll be right down.
What if Dad says something?
Like what? She asked. Just lie.
He might stop me on my way out and ask if Sarah was out front, or want to make sure she wasn't drinking. He'd done that with Tiffany's friends before. Then what? I'd omitted the truth so I could go tonight, but I wasn't sure I could lie to his face. If I got caught scheming with Tiffany, I'd be grounded for good. Then again, these next few minutes might be the only time I got alone with Manning tonight. I went downstairs. The foyer fed into the living room, where my parents sat on the couch watching some action movie. Their backs were to the windows overlooking the front yard. I tiptoed past.
Lake?
Mom called, looking over.
We're leaving for the fair, I blurted.
I couldn't see my dad from where I stood.
Where's Tiffany?
He asked.
finishing her makeup.
What's Lake wearing?
I heard Dad ask. Mom playfully rolled her eyes at me. Shorts and sneakers, Charlie. Hardly party attire. She turned forward again. Every second I stood here was less time talking to Manning, but if I sounded too eager to leave, Dad might suspect something. The clock in the entryway ticked. A car exploded on the TV screen.
Fine,
Dad said.
Home by 10, all right?
I was relieved, but not off the hook until we were driving away. Okay, I said on my way out the door. The truck was parked at the curb of the lot next to ours, the construction site. It looked like an older model, but it was clean. A large, shadowy figure leaned against the driver's side. I smelled smoke before I saw the cigarette.
Manning?
He turned his head but didn't speak. I pushed some hair off my face. I should have brushed it one last time. Because it was long, it got tangled easily. Tiffany will be ready soon. He took a long drag of his cigarette. The little orange tip flared before he dropped the butt on the street and stamped it out.
Come over here.
I went to stand next to him. The glare of my parents' TV flashed in the window. I still worried they'd look out and see me standing with Manning, but not so much that I wasn't going to do it. Is this your car? I asked.
Yeah.
He put his hands in his pockets.
Sorry about the smoke.
I shrugged. I don't care.
You should. It's bad for you. Anyone offers you one, say no. All it takes is that first time and you're hooked. For life. Got it?
I nodded as if I hadn't been told so 1,000 times by teachers, parents, PSAs on TV. I didn't have the guts to try it, but that didn't stop me from being curious. I'll say no, I promised.
Good. Did you finish the book?
I had to if I wanted to come tonight.
Yeah? How was it?
Depressing. I probably should have watched the movie.
But you pushed through. Just to go ride a Ferris wheel?
To spend an evening with you, I wanted to say. I didn't have the guts. No, I don't go on the Ferris wheel.
How come?
Something like that. You could fall off at any time, I was sure. It probably happened all the time. I didn't want to admit I was scared, though. I get sick.
You throw up?
He asked. No, gross.
What then?
I nudged the curb with the toe of my sneaker. The ashes of his cigarette were like silver confetti on the concrete. Big, dark Manning would have blended right in with the night if not for his bleach-white T-shirt.
If you're scared, it's okay to admit it.
Tiffany had snuck me onto a pendulum ride at a carnival when I was little, and I'd peed my pants, terrified. My dad had spanked her, and we'd gone home early. I don't think scared is the right word. I just don't trust it. He checked his watch.
What's your curfew?
How do you know I have one? He raised his eyes to mine.
You don't?
I wish I didn't. Not that I planned to stay out all night with my sister and him, but it bothered me that Manning might think I was childish. 10, I said.
Your parents know I'm taking you guys?
No. With a grunt, he tilted his head toward the sky, but quickly looked back at the house. Sawdust and cigarette smoke lingered in the air, but standing close to him, I mostly smelled men's deodorant and soap.
How about the bumper cars?
He asked. What?
Are you afraid of a little turbulence?
I smiled. No. Tiffany came outside. In the porch light, her blonde hair yellowed. Her denim shorts were a few inches shorter than mine, her ponytail and hoop earrings swinging. For all the time and effort it took her to get ready, she looked breezy, confident. Manning kept his eyes on the pavement as she approached.
Why are you guys standing in the dark?
She was chewing gum.
Hi, Manning.
Hey.
He pushed off the side of the car, rounding the hood to open the passenger side door.
Should we get going?
Tiffany and I followed. There was no back seat in the truck, just one long bench. I didn't even have a limb inside when Tiffany cut in to climb between Manning and me. Considering his size, I wasn't even sure all three of us would fit, but that didn't turn out to be a problem. Tiffany slid as close to Manning as she could get without sitting in his lap.
Oh, I want to make one stop,
Tiffany said when he started the car. He sat back and looked over at her.
Where?
There's this party.
We're not going to a party,
he said. But Lake's never been to one. She looked over her shoulder at me. It's huge. I bet even your loser friends will be there.
Mona and Vicky actually looked up to Tiffany. There was no reason to call them losers except that they were my friends, not hers.
Dad specifically told us not to, I reminded her. 5 minutes. I just want you to see what it's like.
Manning pulled away from the curb. She doesn't want to.
But she will, soon. And it's better if she goes with me her first time rather than her friends.
She pointed to an upcoming stop sign.
Take a right here. It's on the way.
Manning stuck his elbow on the window ledge and steered with one hand. Tiffany's knee knocked against Manning's every time the truck bounced. She murmured directions to him. With each turn, envy grew in me, unwelcome and unfamiliar. I couldn't stop watching their legs. What would it feel like to have Manning's jeans scrape against my bare outer thigh? The hair on my legs prickled to life. I should have shaved all the way up my leg. I didn't always, since the hair on my thighs was fine and blonde, but Tiffany's smooth, tan skin made me realize mine was white and furry. I angled my offensive legs toward the car door, away from the cozy couple.
I can't shift, Manning said.
Oops.
Tiffany peeled her shoulder from his, but her knee stayed put. Manning kept a strong grip on the steering wheel. His forearms were all dark, thick hair and corded veins, his skin brown from working in the sun.
Turn here on Marigold, Tiffany said. See?
Parked cars lined the curb all the way up and down both sides of the block. People loitered on a lawn in an otherwise quiet neighborhood. Tiffany said my friends might be here, but what if they weren't? What if Tiffany ditched me as we walked in the door? I'd never been to a party for reasons that had nothing to do with my strict dad. I had no desire to get drunk and stupid. It was dumb how Tiffany and her friends wore hangovers like gold medals. But that didn't mean I wanted to stand alone in a corner drinking water. Manning pulled in front of the driveway and put the car in park, looking past both of us into the party. A group of seniors stood by the mailbox with red cups in their hands. I looked back at my sister. I didn't want to go in. Even though everyone there would know Tiffany, they wouldn't know me. They'd try to get me to drink. I'd be embarrassed in front of my classmates, in front of Manning. A varsity water polo player leaned over and puked in the street, 10 feet from the truck. His teammate picked up a cheerleader by her waist. She squealed and squirmed as he threatened to drop her in it. Manning watched it all and finally said, "We're not going in there."
"Why not?"
Tiffany asked, sounding genuinely confused. He shifted out of park. Tiffany grabbed his arm.
"Lake needs this. She can't study in her bedroom her whole life."
"Let go of my arm."
Tiffany pulled back.
"But..."
"If you want to go inside so bad, I won't stop you. Your sister and I will go to the fair. How's that sound, Lake?"
"I don't care about some lame high school party," Tiffany said defensively. "I'm doing this for her."
He drove away.
"You don't know what your sister wants."
Manning was right. Either Tiffany didn't know or care what I wanted, but he did. Tiffany glared at Manning. I braced for an explosion. She didn't respond well to being told no. It didn't happen often, not since our father had learned she'd fight him tooth and nail to get what she wanted, and if she lost, find a way to do it anyway. She sulked, but she stayed quiet. I almost couldn't believe it. Since when did she give in so easily? Wasn't she going to wear Manning down until he agreed to go back to the party? Gently, she touched Manning's bicep.
"Are you mad?"
After a few tense seconds, Manning shook his head.
"We can have fun without all that," he said.
She relaxed against the back of the seat.
We rode in relative silence the rest of the way, except for the low din of the radio.
Manning turned it up slightly for one song. When it ended and the DJ said the name, I committed Black by Pearl Jam to memory. Manning parked, and we walked across the street toward the entrance. The fun zone at Balboa Park was one long strip with an arcade, bumper cars, and the biggest draw, for some people, a Ferris wheel. Tiffany stopped at the first carnival game we walked by and clasped both hands around Manning's bicep, her fingers barely touching.
"Win me a stuffed animal," she pleaded. "I know you can."
I responded before Manning could.
"I thought you said stuffed toys were childish?"
Tiffany turned to me with a slight sneer. Not when your boyfriend wins it for you. Come talk to me when you have one of those. The insult was so ridiculous, I couldn't stop myself from laughing. He's not your boyfriend, I said, glancing at Manning. Just to warn you, sometimes you have to repeat yourself with Tiffany. She doesn't always get it. Tiffany's face paled. She'd certainly said worse to me in front of my friends, but as soon as the words were out, I regretted them. She wasn't dumb, but Dad treated her that way sometimes. It's so typical of you to act like you're better than everyone, Tiffany said, looking like she was about to lunge for me. I didn't think that about myself. Tiffany was the one who did what she wanted, breaking rules and hurting people, but still getting everything handed to her. I do not. Do too. I did you a favor bringing you along tonight. Hey. Manning put his hands on her shoulders, drawing her backward. Take a minute, both of you. Tiffany balked. She's implying that I'm an idiot. He turned Tiffany around to face him.
So what? He asked. Is it true?
No.
Then who cares?
I just stood there while they looked at each other, having some kind of moment. Yeah, she said finally, looking over her shoulder at me. Who cares what you think? Manning sighed and ran his hand down his face.
Why don't you go get us some ice cream, Tiffany? Give each other a second to cool off.
Ice cream? She asked. He arched an eyebrow.
You went on and on about it when you invited me.
She took a step back and sniffed. Oh, okay. Will you come with me? He glanced briefly at me and back.
No, you can take care of yourself.
Even with Tiffany's back to me, I could sense her disappointment. If Manning kept telling her no, it could be good for her. Either she'd learn she couldn't always get her way, or she'd get bored and move on. Tiffany left in pursuit of something sweet. Once alone, Manning turned his full attention on me, putting us face to face. You're good with her, I said, looking up at him.
Why's that?
Normally, she does the opposite of what people tell her. Manning ran a hand through his hair, left it sticking up. I could see him better now in the bright, colorful, blinking lights of the fair. He'd rolled up the sleeves of his white T-shirt, the cuffs hugging his muscles. He had a cigarette behind his ear again, stark against his soft black hair. He could have walked straight out of The Outsiders, which I only knew because it had been on last summer's reading list.
She does it on purpose.
I was beginning to notice how Manning's voice, always deep, seemed to get even lower when he was about to lecture me or impart wisdom.
Don't let her goad you on. You're young, and you're better than what you just said to her, aren't you?
I suddenly felt half my size. Although my dad was demanding, I didn't often get scolded. Not like Tiffany. I was the good kid. What does being young have to do with it? I asked. I don't need a babysitter.
Your sister's different from you. She's impulsive. She says what pops into her head, but you think things through. I see you. I see you thinking.
I had no idea what to make of Manning. He was hot and cold. Sometimes I thought there was something between us, but then he went and treated me like a 5-year-old. Why do you care what I do? I asked. He laid a heavy hand on my shoulder, and it spanned all the way to my neck. His fingertips brushed my skin, his palm warming me. He shook me gently, my entire body swaying.
I'm not attacking you. All I'm saying is be better than that. We're at a fair. This is supposed to be fun.
For who? I feel like I'm tagging along on one of Tiffany's dates. Manning took his hand back and crooked one corner of his mouth.
Trust me. If this was a real date, you wouldn't be here. She asked if I wanted to go to a carnival with you guys, and it sounded like the kind of innocent fun I haven't had in a while.
He nodded backward.
So let's go on a ride. How about the Ferris wheel?
I widened my eyes. I told you I can't.
Nah, you're scared, but I'm going to go with you. You'll see, there's nothing to be afraid of.
My heart raced, not just because Manning had touched me, not just because he was looking out for me. Mostly because no part of me wanted to get on that ride, but I was considering it just to have some time alone with him. What about Tiffany?
She'll find us.
He strolled away. I had to hurry to keep up. Two kids darted between us, nearly knocking me over. We can do the bumper cars, I said.
Those are way more fun. He looked sidelong at me. What scares you about the wheel? He asked. You don't like heights?
It wasn't that. I sat on the roof all the time. So what was holding me back? I glanced at the ground as we walked. I don't know. What if something happens up there and you can't get out? How do you know it won't break down or the seat won't fall off?
You just have to trust it.
Trust what? I asked, pointing to the operator. That guy looks like he's in high school. How can he be in charge of lives?
Manning laughed. I think I understand the issue.
I furrowed my brows. What issue?
You don't like to feel out of control. I'm the same, but you have to know when to let go or you'll drive yourself crazy.
Sometimes Tiffany called Dad a control freak. Nobody had ever referred to me that way, though. I was diligent about my schoolwork and when it came to my future. Did that mean I needed to be in control? I wasn't sure. We stopped at the ticket booth. Manning leaned into the window and said,
"To adults."
He looked back at me.
You are an adult, right?
I frowned. I don't know. 14 and over, said the ticket taker. He handed her a 10.
Then 2 adults.
I mean, I don't know if I can do it, I said. I don't want you to spend the money if—
Don't worry about the money, but try to look younger next time. Save me a few bucks.
Because his brows weren't as low and heavy as usual, I was pretty sure he was teasing me. He didn't do it often enough for me to know. As we got in line, I tilted my head back to take in the behemoth of a ride. The creaks of the machinery, the gum-chewing spaced-out attendant, the kids tilting their car in the sky to see how far forward they could make it swing. Adults just stood around smiling at them. You had to be a certain height to ride. Manning was probably twice that. Unfortunately, I came in with plenty of room, too. If I was going to get on this thing, I had to distract myself. Already my stomach felt uneasy. There were a lot of people out tonight, waiting in line for corn dogs, getting quarters for the arcade games, spinning postcard stands outside a souvenir shop. What would you normally be doing tonight? I asked Manning.
Some nights I have class. Since it's the weekend, I'd probably be at a bar.
Oh, college and bars. That was a whole other world to me. What's your class for?
Criminal justice. I want to be a cop.
Even though my mouth popped open, I hoped I didn't look as shocked as I felt. I couldn't picture him in uniform. Like a police officer? I asked.
Yeah.
He scratched his chin. It might have been the first time he didn't look at me like I was from a different planet.
Why?
I wasn't sure how to respond. He was mysterious, rugged, hard to pin down. To be honest, he seemed more like an outlaw than a peacekeeper. I didn't want to insult him, though, so I tried to think of something else to say.
Lake.
I blinked. The way he said my name brought me back to Earth. I thought I could be on a rocket to the moon and come crashing back in an instant when he called for me. What?
You can tell me what you're thinking. I don't have a lot of friends, but the ones I do have, I like them to be honest.
Was it dishonest not to volunteer information? People did it all the time. Tiffany'd sneak out in the middle of the night and pretend she hadn't the next morning. Or Mom would take us shopping and hide the receipts from Dad. I looked away. Every time the Ferris wheel stopped, seats rocked. I'm honest. I couldn't think of many times in my life when I hadn't been. Manning tilted his head. He'd returned to looking at me like I was a science project. A very young one.
I know you are.
How?
I just do.
All right. I fidgeted under his stare. What was your question?
Why'd you look so surprised that I want to go into law?
You don't really look like the type. I mean, physically, you definitely do. Almost imperceptibly, he raised one eyebrow. But it was true. He looked strong enough to take on criminals. Capable.
What other way is there?
He asked. Something about how you are. Inside. When I realized I was staring him straight in the eye, I stopped. I'd forgotten, for a moment, how intimidating he was. How much his opinion was beginning to mean to me. I'm sorry.
Never apologize for being honest.
Does that hurt your feelings? He laughed, and I relaxed a little.
No, it would take a lot more than that.
I don't know anything, I said. I haven't been around that many policemen in my life.
That's a good thing.
Why do you want to be one?
Cops have a lot of power. They can abuse it, or they can make a difference in people's lives. Not everyone has the resources to help themselves. They need someone on their side who does.
You want to help people?
I do.
I felt bad if I'd implied he wasn't the type to make a positive difference. It was obviously important to him if he planned to spend his life helping others.
How about you? You thought about what you want to do yet?
A little. I wished I knew with the same confidence he did. I studied hard to get into a good school because it was expected of me, and because top universities were bound to have students who cared about more than drinking, gossip, and sex, like my sister and my friends. I just wasn't sure what I'd do once I got there. I'm going to college.
Well, that I guessed, he said. I bet you'll like college. It's different from high school. But what about after?
My dad says I can major in business, law, or medicine. He scratched his chin.
Your dad says. What's it to him?
That answer was easy. Everything.
I see. So he wants you to do something big.
Pretty much.
And what do you want?
I guess I want to love what I do. I'm just not sure what that is yet. It doesn't have to be for money, as long as it's worthwhile. Manning looked forward, squinting over everyone in line in front of us. Just when I thought he'd change the topic, he said,
That could be lots of different things. Things you never even thought of.
He scratched his chest.
How about if I get you some books from the library? You make me a list of your interests, and I'll see what I can find.
I smiled. If nothing else, it was a reason to see him again.
Okay. Next, the attendant said, holding his hand out for our tickets.
My stomach dropped. Manning had done a good job distracting me, but the ride loomed huge. A couple kids with wind-swept hair spilled out of their car, which swung back and forth long after they left. The ride had one seat for two people and a bar that came down. That was it. Not even seatbelts. Manning handed the kid our tickets and climbed on the ride. He stood in the center of the carriage, hunched to keep from hitting his head on the roof.
See? It's no big deal. It's designed to be able to swing and move.
He nodded for me to get on.
I'll be by your side the whole time.
I took a step. Adrenaline jolted through me. He was going through a lot of trouble to make me feel safe. That meant he cared, didn't it? And if he cared, he wouldn't want me to get hurt. I repeated his words in my head. I'll be by your side. With a shaky inhale, I wiped my palms on my shorts and walked toward the pile of metal parts that was supposed to carry me into the sky.
Wait!
Tiffany cried. I looked back. She waved two colorful spools of cloud-like cotton candy at us.
I'm here! Wait!
She shoved one of the confections at me, pushed me out of the way, and jumped into the car with Manning.
How's that for timing?
I looked from her to the cotton candy.
What?
I asked. She plopped onto the plastic bench.
The line for ice cream was too long.
Manning looked at me. My hands began to shake with relief, but I couldn't deny my disappointment. What could he say? What could I say? There wasn't room for three people, and Tiffany would surely make a scene if she didn't get her way. Some of the parents waiting for their kids looked over.
What am I supposed to do with this? I asked.
Eat it, silly! Tiffany tried and failed to pull Manning onto the seat with her.
What are you doing? She asked him. She won't get on. She's afraid of heights. Come on.
He sat and pulled the metal bar over their laps. As the wheel moved forward, hot tears pierced the backs of my eyes. Something about all of this was beginning to feel cruel and unfair, and that made me feel helpless. Maybe that was what Manning had been talking about earlier. Injustice.
You got a ticket?
The attendant asked me. Oh, no. There was no way in hell I was getting on without Manning. I retreated and ran right into the person behind me. I whirled around, backing away.
Sorry, go ahead.
Manning and Tiffany rose into the night sky together. Neither of them looked back at me.
Chapter 5. Manning. If someone had asked me a week ago what a typical Saturday night looked like for me, it wouldn't have involved any of this. A Ferris wheel, pink cotton candy, and a pair of girls, one of which was only 16. The wheel churned forward and stopped a few times. Tiffany tore off some cotton candy and put it in her mouth. I didn't know what I should expect during 20 minutes alone with her, but she'd already become shyer without an audience.
"I don't know what my sister told you, but I'm not stupid," she said gently. "I can get a job, it's just that nothing's really interested me so far."
She didn't say that.
"She's annoying," Tiffany said. "Sometimes she doesn't even do anything and she still annoys me."
It wasn't a word I'd used to describe Lake, who was relatively quiet compared to Tiffany.
"How come?" "It's like she thinks she's better than me, just the way she talks or the things she does."
"Yeah, but what?" I asked. "What does she do?"
"She just, like, gets straight A's, and it's all my parents can talk about for a month. It's lame. If I'd really wanted to be a nerd, I could have been, you know? I'd rather enjoy my life."
I looked Tiffany over. That might have been true to some degree, but I didn't buy all of it. "You don't think your sister enjoys life?"
"Everything she does has a purpose. She only takes piano lessons to be well-rounded, and so she doesn't disappoint my dad like I have."
Up until this moment, I'd only really seen Lake as smart, driven, and curious. Maybe because I'd only really seen Lake. I hadn't stopped to wonder how many dinners Tiffany must have sat through hearing about Lake's accomplishments. "I'm sure that's not true."
"It is."
She shuffled her feet on the floor of the car.
"Whatever."
The wheel jerked into motion, sending us higher. "I think Lake looks up to you," I said.
"Why would she?"
"You're her older sister." If I'd been better at expressing myself, I would have told her how much it bothered me to see siblings not getting along. But that wasn't something you thought about until you'd lost one, and then it was too late for that kind of lesson. "Cut her some slack. She probably just wants you to be nice to her." Tiffany scowled.
"Nice?"
"Yeah, like inviting her to come here. That was nice."
"Oh."
Her expression eased as she twisted her lips.
"Yeah, okay, maybe."
A girl in the car above us laughed loudly at something the man with her said. She launched forward to kiss him. Tiffany noticed and smiled. I preferred Tiffany this way, without all the drama. It made me uncomfortable when she was forward, the way she'd been in the car on the way over. I wasn't sure how I felt about her. With long blonde hair and even longer legs and blue eyes a shade icier than her sister's, she was attractive as hell. I just wasn't all that attracted to her. Her attitude had put me off that first day. I should have probably walked away. I would have by now if I hadn't felt so confused the past few days, since I'd really only existed since Maddie's death. Nothing more. Feeling anything was a welcome change. Losing my little sister had brought on the kind of darkness you don't ever really come back from. Even day to day, there wasn't much to my life. I went to work. Construction was good for me, it kept my hands busy, but it was hard. The men I worked with had seen shit, too. Some of them were ex-convicts, and others probably should have been behind bars. I'd almost gotten into it with some of them on Friday when I'd warned them not to catcall the girls. Then I either spent my nights at the community college with other overworked, tired classmates, at a bar drinking by myself, or at home. I had to focus on graduating so I could be in a position to help others the way they'd helped me when I'd needed it, even though I hadn't deserved it. Lake was the only person I'd come across since Maddie who still hadn't seen anything bad out of life. She was good. You could sense it just being around her, not yet jaded. She had dreams, and she believed they'd come true. She was easy to talk to, ambitious, thoughtful. None of that meant she was uncomplicated. That day we met, when she'd sat on a curb with the grapes of wrath, I could tell she was having a hard time concentrating. I remembered Maddie reading a lot, but I'd forgotten that expression she made when she was trying to figure out a new word or when something went over her head. Lake made it, too. There were layers to her you might miss if you weren't paying attention. My sister's death had turned my world dark, but Lake was light. By her age, I'd done all sorts of shit. Drugs, alcohol, sex. Lake seemed so far away from that. Pure, naive, like Maddie would have been. I'd have seen to it. Maybe wanting that in my life, someone to look over, to shield from the bad stuff, was wrong, considering she was 16. Then again, if I'd done a better job of that with Madison, she might still be around to do things like this, to take in the night sky from the top of a Ferris wheel, to taste dyed pink sugar melting on her tongue, to ask her big brother for advice. "What do you want to do after this?" Tiffany asked. I looked over at her, wondering how long I'd been in my trance. We were moving now, going in circles, the breeze warm on my face. "Take you home," I said. "I don't have a curfew." "Lake does." "Oh, yeah." People became pins stuck in a 3D map as the buildings below us got smaller, more like a model of a fair than an actual one. The ocean stretched on one side of us. Carnival lights reflected orange, purple, green, and red on the water by the dock, but there wasn't anything but black beyond that.
"We could just drop Lake off."
Tiffany put her hand on my thigh and left it there, as if deciding her next move.
"Drive around for a while?"
If this had been a date, I would have put my arm around her, pulled her close, kissed her. If I gave her what she wanted now, she'd give me what I wanted later. I wasn't in the business of turning down sex from pretty girls, and Tiffany was pretty, a California beach girl, the kind men dreamed about. No doubt she was also experienced. I wouldn't have to go slow with her. Not that I minded going slow sometimes. I might have liked being with a woman for more than sex if I'd ever found it. Had Tiffany had that before? Did she want it? I put my hand over Tiffany's to see how it'd feel. It didn't answer anything, but it didn't give me more questions either. Maybe that was good. I was pretty sure if I tried to hold Lake's hand, I'd feel something about it. We'd both be worse off for it. With the reservations I had, hand-holding was as much as I was ready for tonight. "I'll take you home after this," I said. "Wouldn't want your dad to worry."
"He wouldn't,"
she said softly, looking up at the sky.
"Not about me."
I got the feeling this was the real Tiffany, that her bravado was a front for some insecurities that probably came from her dad. She needed someone in her corner.
"You really think that?" "We don't get along so well," she said,
"in case you didn't pick that up." I was beginning to. "That's a shame."
"Look how pretty the stars are," she said.
Even though the shift in topic was sudden, it didn't stop a lump from forming in my throat. I kept my eyes forward. The fucking stars. That was a place reserved for Maddie. I wasn't willing to go there.
"What's pretty about them?"
She looked at me funny.
"What kind of a question is that? They twinkle. They're..."
She couldn't come up with anything else.
"They're just pretty. Did you look?"
"I've seen them."
"So if you're going to drop me off early, when will I see you again?"
I didn't have an answer. I stretched my arm along the back of the seat. She took it as an invitation to move into my side. "I'll be back on the lot Monday."
"I don't mean like that. I was hoping we could, you know, go out."
I knew what she'd meant. I could just say no. I didn't want to lead her on, but there was no reason, not one, that I should ever see Lake again if her sister wasn't around. As the Ferris wheel spun, silence stretched between us. I didn't tell Tiffany I'd see her again. I didn't tell her I wouldn't, either.
Chapter 6 Lake. Standing under the Ferris wheel, watching it go round and round, made me ill. I did it until I lost track of Manning and Tiffany, then crossed the pathway and sat on a step, eating tufts of cotton candy while I waited. A pair of ripped blue jeans stepped in front of me.
"Hey!"
I looked up into sharp, crystal blue eyes that were a trademark of the very good-looking, very popular Swenson brothers, Kane, Corey, and the one blocking my view, Corbin. Blonde hair curled out from under a billabong hat that sat low on his head, its rigid bill almost shadowing his face. Corbin was closest to my age. He stood with a skateboard behind his head, propped lengthwise on his shoulders, wheels out. He'd covered the underbelly in stickers.
"Don't you go to my high school?" he asked.
Even though I was fairly sure he thought I was someone else, I nodded. He tapped his chin.
"You have, stuff."
Quickly, I wiped my face with my sleeve. "Thanks."
"And your tongue is blue," he grinned. Why aren't you at that party on Marigold?
I sat up a little. Why aren't you? I'm sure all your friends are there.
I was. It's no big deal.
Absent-mindedly, he spun one of the skateboard's wheels with a long finger. A cartoon sticker of a naked woman peeled at one corner.
So you know who I am?
I blinked back to his face. Corbin.
What's your name?
Lake, I answered.
Cool. You skate?
I ate more of my cotton candy.
No. Surf?
Tiffany and I had gone to a few surf camps over the years. I could barely stand. Tiffany was better, but she preferred dry land for sunbathing with her Walkman and magazines. I figured I'd surfed more than the average teenager, so I shrugged.
Kind of. You should come out with me and my brothers sometime. We could use some chicks in the lineup.
Maybe.
You here by yourself?
I still wasn't sure if he thought he was talking to someone else. I hadn't seen Corbin with any specific girl I could remember, but guys like him always had a girlfriend. With my sister.
Who's your sister?
Tiffany.
Kaplan?
He swung his skateboard in front of his legs and laughed.
Yeah, makes sense. I see the resemblance now.
I had no idea why that was funny. It happened a lot, people finding out we were sisters and mentioning the resemblance. Whether or not it was just something people said, I usually took it as a compliment. With Corbin, I wasn't so sure. How do you know Tiffany?
From school. And she's friends with my older brother.
I'm a year below you.
I know.
Only then did my heart skip a beat, once I realized the most popular guy in school really was talking to me. Corbin had noticed me. Our high school wasn't that big, but there were hundreds of students.
I've seen you around,
he added with a smile. It was a nice smile, too. Since he was so tan, his teeth looked unnaturally white. Everyone knew who the Swensons were. Their dad worked with mine, so the name even came up a time or two at the dinner table. I could see why girls liked the brothers with their perpetual surfer tans, their tall and lean muscular bodies. If I'd thought much about talking to Corbin, I would have guessed it'd be a bumbling, muttering, stomach butterflies kind of thing, but it wasn't. I liked him, and I liked that he didn't make me nervous. The Ferris wheel stopped. I tried to see around Corbin, then through his legs, past his skinned knees, but he blocked my view with the skateboard.
We went to camp together when we were kids.
What?
Young cubs, he said. You know, camp?
I looked up at him again. I remembered, but it seemed so long ago. We were different people then. Kids. I'm going back this year as a junior counselor, I said.
Cool. I'll be there for a day to coach a baseball game, show them how it's done.
He winked.
I'd stay longer, but I have baseball camp that week.
Sounds fun, I said, leaning so far to the side I almost toppled over.
Looking for Tiffany? He asked.
She's on the Ferris wheel.
Alone?
Manning's height gave them away. He was at least a head taller than any adult, and in a crowd of kids he verged on giant status. She's with a friend.
Who, Sarah?
Manning's eyes locked on Corbin's back, and he came over, Tiffany on his heels. The cotton candy made my mouth tacky. I ran my tongue over my teeth, worried they might be blue. I was suddenly aware of my breathing, of the fact that my shorts had ridden up when I sat.
Hello?
Corbin asked.
Huh?
I asked without looking away from Manning. Corbin checked over his shoulder just as Tiffany spotted us.
Hey, Corbin,
Tiffany said, looking a bit off balance in her platforms.
Looking for me?
Nope.
Corbin turned back to me.
Just saying, what's up to your sister?
Tiffany grabbed Corbin's forearm, pulling him away.
Have you met Manning? She asked. He's in college.
Cool.
Corbin dropped the skateboard on the ground and planted a big, fat airwalk sneaker on it to stop it from rolling away.
I should get back to my friends. We'll be surfing Huntington Pier all next week, Lake.
Southside, in the mornings.
If you want to come watch.
I waved. See ya. Manning watched Corbin skate off, his eyes narrowed.
Who was that?
Tiffany and I answered at the same time. Corbin Swenson.
What did he want?
Manning asked. I shrugged. Just saying hi.
Tiffany tightened her ponytail. Are you friends? Both Tiffany and Manning towered over me. For just getting off a carnival ride, neither of them looked very happy. Had they fought? I could almost convince myself I'd heard something like jealousy in Manning's questions just now. I pulled my knees against my chest. I wouldn't say friends, more like acquaintances. Oh. Tiffany sat next to me on the stairs. I went out with his brother once. I always thought Corbin had a crush on me. That was a typical thing for Tiffany to assume. So? So just keep in mind that some guys might look at you and see me. Meaning? She brushed some of my hair off my neck, glancing up at Manning as if checking to see if she should proceed. You and I are different. I cut class, went to bonfires on the beach, drank, smoked weed. I wanted to relax into the feeling of Tiffany's fingers in my hair, but I worried an insult was coming. And? And you do homework for fun. I made a face. I do not. Just don't be naive. Corbin's a nice guy, but he can have any girl he wants, which means he probably does. He's a heartbreaker. Maybe I did focus too much on school, and maybe I had no clue about boys like Tiffany thought, but I didn't want Manning to know that. I'm not as innocent as you think, I said. Tiffany laughed and hugged me from the side. Yes, you are. Okay, so she was right. I'd experienced embarrassingly little. Less even than my friends, and they were mild compared to most girls at my school.
Innocence is good, Manning said, sounding funny, as if his teeth were clenched. She has the rest of her life for parties, for punks like that guy.
Tiffany ruffled my hair as if I were her child, not her high school-aged sister. What should we ride next, Manning?
You want that stuffed animal? He asked.
Her eyes lit up. Do you really think you can win it? I tasted metal. It was as if I wasn't even there. They acted like they were my babysitters. I should have paid more attention to the guys Tiffany had dated in the past. How long did it take for her to lose interest and move on to the next? To me, Manning seemed as untouchable as the glossy celebrities taped to Tiffany's wall. So why did she get to touch him? Manning and Tiffany turned to the booth with the stuffed animals, ignoring me. As long as I sat there being my quiet, innocent self, they could carry on with their lives. I stood, brushing dirt off the seat of my shorts. I'm going to see if Corbin wants to ride the Ferris wheel with me. Manning turned around first.
What?
I said,
I heard you.
He glanced at the ride and back at me.
I thought you were scared.
I was, but you said I could do it, so I think I'm ready. I wasn't ready. Not to go it alone. And if I wasn't riding with Manning, I might as well be by myself. Manning's expression didn't change, but he cracked a knuckle.
Maybe it's better to wait.
I crossed my arms over myself. When Manning ignored me, everything hurt. But when he looked right at me, like now, the contents of my stomach turned upside down, as if my insides were doing acrobatics. I'm going to do it now, with Corbin. You like him, Tiffany teased. I don't blame you. All the Swensons are totally gorgeous. Manning put a firm hand on my shoulder, physically keeping me where I stood.
I'll go with you.
I cocked my head. I had no intention of hunting down Corbin. Maybe he wasn't as intimidating as I thought, but I wasn't about to approach one of the most popular guys in school for a kiddie ride. Manning didn't want me to do it, though, and fighting with him was better than being ignored by him. You already went, with Tiffany, remember? His hand warmed the entire left side of my body. By the look on his face, the sarcasm in my comment didn't amuse him.
Do you want to ride it or not?
Yes, with Corbin. Manning shook his head.
You're too young to be alone with someone his age.
I opened my mouth to protest, but Tiffany beat me to it. It's a Ferris wheel, not 7 minutes in heaven. Don't you remember being 16?
Too well. That's why I'm saying no.
You can't tell me no, I scoffed. I'm not a kid, and even if I were, you still couldn't tell me no. He looked at me a moment, then pulled me to his side with one strong, heavy arm around my shoulders. It wasn't an intimate gesture. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a page out of Tiffany's book and rumpled my hair. Still, I was pressed against him, surrounded in his soapy scent, his hip against my side, his enormous hand squeezing my shoulder.
"I'm going to win you a prize," he said. "Anything you want. Pick it, and I'll get it for you, no matter how big it is."
He no longer sounded angry or jealous or even cautious, and that was a first. Was this how Tiffany always got what she wanted from men? By doing what they told her not to?
"Really?" I asked. "What's your favorite animal? Frogs?"
I couldn't help my laugh. As kids, my friends and I used to catch and release toads in the street, but I wasn't a kid anymore.
"Whose favorite animal is a frog? They're slimy."
He shrugged one shoulder and pulled me along with him toward a hit-the-target game.
"So nothing slimy, then?"
Manning paid the carney, received 3 baseballs, and missed the target 3 times. I smiled at his effort. Just that alone was worth being happy over.
"It's okay if..." "No, it's not. I promised you."
Manning called the man over again.
"Another round."
I almost missed Tiffany's glare, but when I caught it, I just about told her to take a hike. To go find Corbin Swenson, her number 1 admirer. Being the center of Manning's attention was as heady as I thought it would be, and I didn't want to share the spotlight. Tiffany turned away on her own, though, leaving us to go talk to the man operating the booth. Right as I turned back, Manning reared back and pitched the ball in a perfect line. It bounced off the cardboard around the target.
"These games are rigged," he muttered.
"Don't worry about it," I said.
"I am worried," he teased.
At least, I thought he was kidding. He spoke lightly, but also focused intensely on the target. Maybe something did have him worried. Gearing up for his second throw, his T-shirt sleeve rode up his bicep. The skin there was whiter than the rest of his arm, smoother. His muscles strained the fabric. Tiffany glanced over at us.
Manning missed. "God."
His neck reddened, and after a deep breath, he snatched the 3rd baseball. He threw it so hard everyone jumped when it smacked the target. Manning wiped his hairline with his sleeve and nodded.
"There we go."
The attendant barely looked away from Tiffany.
"Pick any from this side," he said,
gesturing toward a wall with small stuffed animals and toys.
"What if I want a bigger one?"
he asked.
"You have to hit the target twice."
"I don't want a bigger one," I said immediately, taking a step closer to Manning. I looked up at him, proud. I'd never seen anyone hit the target directly, not even my dad, and he'd played this game before.
"You sure?"
he asked.
"Because I'll..."
"I'm sure." I pointed to the first thing I saw, a white and blue pelican. "That one." Manning leaned over the counter to wrestle the toy off the wall.
"It needs a name," he said.
My cheeks flushed. "I don't name my stuffed animals." He passed it to me.
"I think you should."
I hugged it to my chest. Put on the spot, I couldn't think of anything clever. "Well, it's a bird, so... Birdie?"
"Birdie,"
he repeated, looking me in the eyes. He ran a thumb over the head of the stuffed toy, his knuckles brushing the neckline of my shirt, the top curve of my breast. He didn't seem to notice, but I shivered.
"You cold, Birdie?"
It fit perfectly in my arms. The first thing a boy had ever given me. And not just a boy. Manning. "Birdie's warm," I nodded. "Birdie's perfect. Thank you."
"Welcome."
"Look what I won!" Tiffany strutted over, her arms barely meeting around the middle of a giraffe as tall as her. She grinned. "And I didn't even have to throw a single ball."
"You going to carry that thing around the whole park?"
Manning asked.
"We'll have to buy it its own ticket."
She laughed. "Of course not. It's as big as me." "You are." She shoved it at Manning, who tucked it under his arm, looking much less annoyed than I felt. When I glanced over at the Ferris wheel, Manning noticed.
"Still want me to take you?"
I curled my fingers into Birdie's soft, velvety fur. I couldn't have been happier. "No, it's okay." Tiffany took Manning's free arm and guided him away, leaving me to follow behind them. "Thank you for taking care of her," she whispered loudly. "My dad will love you for it." Dad, I asked. You're going to introduce them? No. Tiffany looked back at me, and then up at Manning. Well, maybe. Would you, Manning?
Would I what?
Meet my parents. She squeezed his elbow. You could come over for dinner. Manning at the dinner table? With Dad? Tiffany had brought home two guys before, an older man who owned a tanning booth and a guy with dreadlocks. Neither had lasted a week past dinner. Dad didn't even like Tiffany's friends, much less her boyfriends. He went out of his way to make them feel small, and Tiffany knew it. I don't think he should, I said. Don't be rude, Tiffany said. But you know how Dad is. How? Manning asked. I recited my mom's excuse for Dad whenever he insulted someone. People just don't get his sense of humor. Manning can handle it, Tiffany said, trailing her fingers over the giraffe's neck. Can't you? Tiffany's words from the other night came back to me. The construction workers pissed Dad off, and she liked that. Maybe she even wanted it.
Is it all right with you? Manning asked me.
Why should she care? Tiffany asked.
Because I'll be eating dinner with your family, and she's an entire quarter of it.
You want to come? I asked. He looked back at me.
Might be a good idea to meet your parents.
He said it to me, not Tiffany. He wanted to meet my parents. And while I should have felt uneasy about it, the idea that Manning had any interest in my life had the opposite effect. It made my heart soar. Chapter 7. Lake. My dad rarely took days off, unless it was for something he deemed more important than work. Not much fell into that category, but USC always did. That was why, at 4 o'clock on the Monday after I'd gone to the fair, my dad and I were finishing up our annual visit to the campus. My dad proudly called me a prospective student to the other parents on the tour, and I wore an old Trojans t-shirt that had belonged to him before he'd shrunk it in the wash. This year felt different than our past 5 visits. I really was a prospective student now, only 2 years out from starting here. As college sharpened on the horizon, the students around me no longer seemed ancient. They were just a couple years older than me. I'd even gone to school with kids who attended now. Female students wore strapless tops, cut-off shorts, and bared their midriffs. A boy rode by our tour group on a skateboard. I'd never even been on a skateboard, and showing too much skin was a punishable offense at my school. When the guide dismissed us for the afternoon, Dad pulled me away from the crowd.
You heard what she said about starting college classes now? He asked. Since USC is too far of a drive, we can sign you up at a community college to get some credits out of the way.
My teacher said a college class might be too much at my age.
Your teacher's an idiot. It'll be Disneyland compared to where you're headed. You should have no trouble keeping up.
If he believed I could do it, then I'd try. He'd pushed me to take advanced classes all my life, and although they were hard, I'd always earned A's. The buildings were large and named after people. Students came in and out of every door, disappearing around corners or zipping by us. How old were you when you came here?
20. I couldn't afford anything other than community college, so that's where I started. But eventually I transferred to USC on a scholarship. I graduated at the top of my class and went on to complete my MBA. Imagine what you can do starting even earlier.
I thought back to my conversation with Manning about my interests and how he'd promised to get me books from the library. I haven't decided on a major yet. Do you think I should do business?
You don't have to. You can be anything you want. Doctor, lawyer, accountant.
Mona wants to be a teacher.
The world needs teachers, he said as we headed down the concrete path. But we also need leaders. If you like working with children, like you do at camp, you could be a pediatrician. Then you get to spend all day doing something valuable, saving lives.
I couldn't remember much about doctor's offices, but my dentist was in a perpetually bad mood. Wouldn't that be sad, dealing with sick kids? What if I can't make them better?
If you decide to go that route, there are different paths you can take. You could be an obstetrician. Try being sad while delivering a baby.
How many years of school is that?
Probably 8, including undergrad, followed by a residency.